Well, and we've talked in a couple different ways here also about social media. We've raised Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And so I thought that's another, you know, aspect media studies can bring to bear on here, that this is really a flashpoint event in the history of social media. And actually, the, you know, personal perspective, I heard about the Burdick. I was in a restaurant. I was in an Outback Steakhouse in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And, you know, we just put in our order, and then I was, you know, I got on my phone to check Twitter, and I saw someone tweet like, you know, verdict's coming in 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, okay. And then the verdict came down, and my husband and I were freaking out. We look around the room, and everyone's drinking and partying and watching, you know, baseball or whatever. And I'm like, people, don't you realize what's going on? You know, and every person in the room, I think, was white. And I felt so disconnected from them. And then I looked at my Twitter feed, and everybody in my Twitter feed was talking about it. And then in the coming days, like I said, especially reading Kristen's tweets, I was introduced to so many perspectives, and particularly African-American perspectives, and you know, making me rethink my own white privilege and that kind of stuff. And so it was really, to me, social media was the key outlet for me to try to interrogate the things I was trying to understand about the issue. So do you have any thoughts about that, about how social media has played a role in coverage of the story, reactions to the story, developing meanings of the event?
I have to say, so I was at a family reunion. I was in Vancouver on a bus tour coming back. So I was out of the country for 2 hours during when the verdict was read. And then I came and I saw that what the verdict was. And I have to say, like, there was something really, it was sort of like, you're out of place, the out of placeness that was astonishing in terms of how you come to grips with what's happening. But I needed Twitter to sort of help me parse out what my own feelings were. And I was glad for it, because I think, you know, if this had happened pre-Twitter or pre-social media, I don't really know. You grieve alone. And there was something about not wanting to grieve alone. There was something about wanting to be with other people and, you know, either be angry or cry, or want to talk about the injustice, or talk about it from a theoretical point, or talk about it just saying what it was that you felt. And it was ugly and raw, and but it was real. And I was grateful for Twitter, because that was a place where you could go and get some salve, because it just hurt. It just hurt. And there's rarely do I notice on Twitter that there's like a feeling, but there was just this very palpable energy that was there that Saturday night, and even into Sunday. Like, you could just feel people's like waves of emotion that would just continue. Just like Bambi and Miriam said, no one was surprised. Like, that wasn't the issue. It was the issue that we dared to hope, right? Like, a not guilty verdict, full expected, but you thought maybe they'd give him one charge, they charge him with something, you know, maybe they find something to give, like something to say, we at least respect that this happened and we actually want him to be punished for something. So I think there was nothing. Was just, I mean, I think you dared to hope that things could be different. You dared to hope that we've progressed, that as much as we want to believe we have, or as much as we've been told we have. And so Twitter was a really good spot to go and just sort of park for a few hours, and because that was really what it was, grief and rage, of course.
Miriam, do you have any thoughts on that, the social media role played in all of this?
Yeah, you know, I really agree with what Kristen said about sort of it being a place to go and have your sanity confirmed, or to be in community in a particular kind of way, to vent, to exchange questions and try to get some answers. I mean, in some ways, I think I'm sort of like Kristen in that I'm pretty selective about who my Facebook friends are, even though I'm not on Twitter, but I'm on Facebook. And I, even though I have a lot of them, but for the most part, it's not too much of a mixed bag. But I thought I was really intrigued by the article that came out, I think, about 3 days after the weekend, after it was, the verdict came out, that there were more defriendings and blockings on Facebook on that Sunday than any other day in Facebook history. And I sort of thought, so maybe we are now, in fact, seeing the limits of that, what that community gets made out of. I mean, I think that there are moments that test it anyway. You know, somebody says the wrong thing about this thing or that thing, and, you know, you get blocked, you get defriended. But I think that it's interesting, because I'm sure that those blockings and defriendings happened on both sides, if you can even conceive of two sides, but both sides of this issue. So that I think it takes me back to what Bambi was saying about this sort of the the illusory hope of this millennial generation and the idea that we're all going to get together on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, just like read gossip and kick it or whatever. And that like this really was a testing ground that a lot of people didn't pass each other's tests. A lot of people weren't, you know, a lot of friendships didn't survive this moment. And I think that's really telling and interesting because it means that, I mean, I have those kinds of conversations on Facebook all the time, you know, with people about stuff that's happening. But it sort of forced people into having those conversations in a moment where I think, again, folk on both sides had very strong feelings about it in ways that they really could not ignore. So I think it's an interesting test for social media to see, so what, you know, what do we do now after we've blocked each other, after we've defriended each other, like, now what, you know? So I for me, it's interesting from that perspective.
Anything to add to that, Bambi?
Well, the one thing I would add is, I guess I do follow Kristen on Twitter, but I'm not a good follower. Twitter is just too intense for me. It's too fast. But I literally did not get off Facebook for hours and hours. I think Miriam and I talked several times that first day, and you know, after talking to my sisters and talking to Kristen, one of the things that I found myself doing was, and this is where I don't know if it's social media per se, but the idea that people will tweet into talk shows or will post comments behind articles. And there's a way in which I think people respond so quickly to something that there's sort of this gut level response one way or another that gets put out there in a way that I think I understand why the defriending and the blocking came up, because there's a feeling that you can just respond, that it's just Facebook. It's just Twitter. I'm just responding to this. And I think that some people responded in ways that were flippant, that were, well, what did you expect? And want in ways that cut off conversation, and also in ways that I think really did speak to a hatefulness that is out there in terms of people feeling a certain license to say things that I think even 5 years ago they wouldn't have said out loud. And I think tweeting is saying something out loud. Posting on Facebook is saying something out loud. It's a new way to have that kind of response. And I guess what worries me is how people don't have very many qualms about saying whatever pops into their mind about a certain issue without necessarily a lot of reflection. I don't know, Kristen, what do you think about that?
Yeah, when people have these tools, and they, yeah, for sure, can say all kinds of things and not think that it's going to backfire on them in any capacity. But the thing is, they should know, because, I mean, if anything that Twitter has taught us, at least in the last 2 weeks, you know, with Black Twitter becoming like a buzzword, and, you know, Paula Deen's best dishes, and like, you know, like, you know, people are really quick on the, like, they're really quick to retweet the crazy that you say, and you, and like the, oh God, it's so terrifying when you get a whole bunch of people writing, tweeting at you, you know, telling you to correct yourself or to fix it or that you're being offensive or whatever. So, I mean, people should know, they should be careful, because in this current moment, people are so quick to respond. Like, if as just as quick as people are to say something crazy, people are just as quick to call them on the crazy. So you would think, yeah, they would modify that just a bit. Yeah.